A recent study published by the British medical journal The Lancet shows that more than 1 million people died from malaria in 2010. That figure is significantly higher than the World Health Organization's estimate, according to which just under 700,000 people died from the disease. One of the directors of the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, Professor Rifat Atun, spoke with Anne Schneibel about the study.
First of all, it's a very welcome study because it looks at what's happening to malaria mortality trends over a fairly long period of time. So that's the first thing. So it fills an important gap in our knowledge about malaria mortality. And I think there are four very important new findings for me, I think for us as the global community investing in malaria. First of all, the burden in terms of malaria deaths is much, much higher than what earlier studies estimated. And this is almost 1.24 million deaths as opposed to 655,000, that was the earlier estimates by the World Health Organization. And the difference is huge. It's not just 5% or 10%. It's a massive difference. So that has implications in terms of investment decision. The second big important finding is that the proportion of deaths in children under 5 because of malaria are much, much higher than previously thought. So rather than 16%, it's actually one quarter of total child deaths. So if we want to reduce child mortality, we need to get malaria right. The third important finding, and this is very new, is that malaria affects not just children, but also adults. And here, the big difference in the numbers of deaths between WHO figures and IHME figures is the number of adult deaths. That has two implications. First of all, with adults, obviously the impact is beyond the health of the individual. If the adult is the breadwinner for the family, then the whole family will be affected, as we saw with AIDS, or we see with TB. And secondly, there are economic costs to the countries affected, because the bread earner will no longer be able to make the economic contribution which the country needs. And therefore, we need to ensure that going forward, we invest in malaria programs that also meet the needs of adults, not just children, while continuing to meet the needs of children at a greater scale. The fourth important finding, and this is critically important to understand, that interventions for malaria work. And what the study has been able to show is that there's been a 32% decline since 2004 in malaria deaths. And there's an acceleration in the decline, which is very important. And this acceleration coincides with the increased investment in malaria through the Global Fund, which is the major external funder of malaria programs in the world. And since 2009, more than $2.5 billion of investment has been made in malaria by the Global Fund. So there is no excuse. So we've been investing effectively, interventions work. There's no excuse for not addressing malaria effectively. We can beat malaria. It's just a matter of ensuring appropriate amounts of invested going forward in the right areas. And I think this study provides a new direction to inform investment policies.
And you'd spoken about some of the things that are being done. What are some of the concrete initiatives that are being done to address this epidemic?
Yes. Well, I think the study refers to three important interventions. The first of this is insecticide-treated nets. So nets used to prevent mosquitoes biting children and mothers and others. There's been a massive scale-up of these nets, for example, and mostly through Global Fund financing. While in 2008, up to 2008, 70 million nets had been distributed. But by end of 2011, this number increased to 235 million. So that's a massive increase. Just within 3 years, we have more than tripled the number of nets distributed globally. The second area of investment is new effective drugs in the form of artemisinin-based, they're called artemisinin-based combination treatments, ACTs as the acronym used. These are very effective in treating malaria, and the study shows that the scale-up of ACTs has had a major impact in mortality reduction. And again, there's been very substantial investment in this through Global Fund sources over the last few years. The third major intervention is spraying houses in affected communities with chemicals to prevent mosquitoes surviving. So these are what we call IRS programs, indoor residual spraying programs. There's been a very substantial scale-up of this intervention. So these combined together has led to the massive declines that we've seen in mortality rates.
And you had mentioned before there's a very high discrepancy between the two reports, the recent one that shows that more than a million have died in 2010 and the report of the World Health Organization, which indicated about 655,000 deaths in that year. Could you share your thoughts on this discrepancy and why there is this discrepancy between these two reports?
Yes. Well, this will be a subject for much debate, and there's already debate taking place in my institution, but also in the technical agencies with which we work. Now, the reason why there's a difference is because the current study, the new study, has used a number of sources of information to try and estimate the mortality. Specifically, they used a new approach called verbal autopsy. This is asking people in affected regions in relation to adults and children dying what they thought the cause might be, and to describe the condition within which the death occurred. This was combined with hospital records, also looking at death records from regular records that countries have. In addition, surveys that had taken place at population level surveys. And they brought this together using new statistical methods. And they came up with this new figure, because the verbal autopsy, where they interviewed relatives of someone who had died recently, produced larger estimates than were previously realized. Now, that said, the WHO figure of 655,000 was not just one figure. There's a range. There's a margin of error around this figure, because we're using modeling to estimate mortality declines. There's no direct measurement, which is something I want to come back to. Because we're using estimates, there's always uncertainty around the estimates. And the range around 655,000 is actually fairly wide. And with the upper range, one gets close to the 1.24 million figure, but does not reach or surpass it. So the approach used by Dr. Murray's team to look multiple methods of measurement and putting this together, triangulating these together to come up with a better estimate was instrumental in coming up with a new figure. But what the study also tells us very clearly is that we must invest in measurement systems at countries to better identify what citizens are dying from. It is inexcusable in the 21st century that we cannot tell if a person has died from malaria or from another illness. So there's an urgent need to invest in strong information systems in countries to better understand the causes of illness and the causes of death in affected countries. And given the massive amounts of investment going into malaria, rightly so, part of this funding must go to revitalizing, as the Lancet puts it, revitalizing the health information systems. I think the findings show that our investments are having massive impact, saving very large numbers of lives in children and adults. But given that our investments work, interventions work, we need to scale these up to save even more lives.